The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
You have the best question ever.
I'm gonna send that clip to Rick because Rick always makes fun of my questions. So I'm so happy that you just said that.
No, and I mean it really. I really mean it. Those questions are so amazing, and so it's like a twofold. So when I started this journey, I was like, the ego, the pride, I can figure it out, I can do it myself. So I was like DIY girl, everything, asking Uncle Google, YouTube, courses, podcasts, books, all of it by myself.
It's episode 242 of the Simply Human Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Luce Brett. She's a writer, blogger, a patient, a feminist, a word lover, a pun enthusiast, a self-proclaimed leaky lady, and that woman, you know, that woman over there kneeling on the floor searching for her Oyster card. That's what her website says. I don't know. She's from London. I might have just said something very offensive. should I look that up? Okay, so we just had a great... So let me tell you what Luce did. When we set it up through her people, right? I did the spiel about we record on this day at 8:30 p.m. Central. Like, yeah, take it or leave it, right? Yeah, no problem. Boop, I get the thing. Luce Brett on this night. Da 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 da. And then like she writes back, or somebody wrote back, and it's like, hey, just Luce, just so you know, like this is 2:30 a.m. London time. Are you cool with that? And I'm thinking, oh, well. There goes Luce. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, there's no possible way. We're not going to be able to get up in the middle of the night to talk to us.
And we can't do it at 8 in the morning or whatever would work. You know what I mean? So, and she wrote back and she was like, yeah, I guess, yeah, I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'll just wake up in the middle of the night and do this podcast interview. And she does. My biggest fear, I was like, what if the technology messes up or like...
Oh, and she wakes up and the whole thing craps out.
There were a few times that it's kind of going out and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Please. But it never did go all the way out. So she's awesome. We're going to talk to her in just a second.
Yeah.
We got to talk about something.
Yes.
I feel like this would be... This is a sports thing, but I think it goes beyond sports.
Okay.
So my brother Brad...
Yes.
Knows a guy. I don't know.
Man.
That's my story.
I'm pumped about this, by the way.
So Brad knows that I love the Mavericks.
Yes.
He loves giving gifts. He loves knowing what people want. He doesn't want to give anyone something that they don't want. He wants to make sure it's something cool. This guy used to work at the Mavs old stadium in the 80s, 90s.
Reunion Arena.
Reunion Arena.
You know the downtown Dallas skylight. It's Reunion Tower is the one, like the very
the
tall,
ball.
Skinny with the big ball at the top. Reunion Arena was right next to there.
So he knew a guy that used to work, was like a ball boy, worked there somehow. And whenever they tore down Reunion Arena, there was like some stuff left in the locker room, some stuff left over here and there. And they told the few people, like, yeah, if you whatever's left, like, is being demolished. So take whatever you want.
Yeah.
So this guy takes all this stuff. The first thing, which, by the way, I'm coming into town this weekend. We need to talk off air about I'm coming in Saturday. I'm leaving Sunday. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
But maybe, like, there's this thing that he sent me. It's like the ticket board. It's like
it's a gigantic whiteboard. It's 6 feet wide by 4.5 feet tall. And it has a diagram, like the seating chart of the entire arena. And they had that mounted. It's a dry erase board. They had it mounted in the season ticket sales office so they could mark off sections that were available, sections were not available. Well, Mark sends me this picture. Well, I literally just bought this house and I'm looking for, cool decor, the formal dining room, like we're ever going to dine in there. I'm going to take, like, we're getting like an air hockey table.
Nice.
I'm going to put some like sports kind of stuff on the walls. This would be perfect for this wall.
So he asked me if I want it, and I like I'm doing the dimensions, you know, and yeah. I like I
and you live 3 hours, 3.5 hours yeah. from where this thing is located. So this is going to be a pain for you.
And I tell Jen about it, and she's like, kind
of
gives me,
yeah,
where are
she
we going to?
No.
There's there, yeah, and like, okay, I'm going to get this thing, and I'm going to just put it in my garage behind a bunch of stuff, and never going to see it. Yeah. Or we could get it for Rick. And he's at, and it's going to be this awesome thing. Okay, yeah. so this guy is also like, hey, I have some other stuff too. He starts sending pictures of like the wood engraved nameplates that go above the lockers of all yeah. these Mavs from the 80s and 90s. There's 120 of these things.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I share my screen, will it show up on the recording? Because I Maybe. Want. Where'd it go? Hang on. I want to share. I want to tell you. You missed it last night. You missed the draft. So the Simply Humans own both the yeah. man without a pancreas, Jack and Rob,
my brother.
The true reasons why I am
Franco Harris, a
Mavericks fan. We all went in and negotiated, a long story short, we all chipped in and bought all 120 of these nameplates. And then now it's like, how are we going to determine who wants what? Because there's yeah, maybe some that
there's some really cool ones, guys, you know, players that are, you know, fairly well known, you know, Jamal Mashburn and, you know,
Jim
Papa
Jackson,
Jones.
Papa Jones. All right. Can you see this? So look, this we did this last night.
So this is why you're texting me last night saying you got to join the Zoom call, and this is why I'm glad I didn't.
I almost recorded it because it was so there was so much hilariousness. So I got like I alphabetized
Samaki
them.
Walker. You Samaki got a Samaki Walker. There you go, buddy.
So do you know why Jack is E N S?
I do not.
E Norma.
No, yeah, okay.
So look,
right.
I got
his favorite go-to name, the Seymour Butts. Yeah. When Jack signs me and Mark up for 1,000 email newsletters, he uses the name E, like the initial E period, Norma, last
like,
name
like just
Stitz.
A little old lady name, and then yeah, Stitz.
And yeah, so just run it all together.
Together.
E Norma
so
Stitz.
So I got Cedric Ceballos, Jim Clemens.
That's a good one.
I got Brad Davis or Hubert Davis.
Jim Clemens had a locker?
I guess. He was an assistant coach.
He was coach.
Yeah.
He was the head coach.
But look, there's two drylings because one is the player dryling and one was the coach dryling. John McLeod.
Oh,
I got John McLeod, coach.
Okay.
Richie Adubato is on there. We started
Scott
like
Brooks was a player, and I think he was an assistant coach at some point.
Yeah. Uwe Blob. Jay Vincent. We started going through and saying, oh, that was a first round draft pick, or that's I remember this guy. We were like Googling these people because as we were getting further and further
Clint
down,
Nymphius, who held the all time record for blocks in a season until your dad's favorite player, Lorenzo Williams, broke it in like 1997.
Like, of course, Jack got Nutt.
Yeah, of course, he got Nutt.
I got Grandhold, and I got both of the Woods. So like we went through and like Rob, you know, was first pick. Jack was second. I was third. And we just went through. There was a George McLeod, and this is John McLeod, the coach.
Yeah.
Oliver Miller was on here, right here. Rob got Oliver Miller. So anyway,
short. Yeah.
It was just James Donaldson is on here. Like Sasha Danilo. You know why I got Sasha Danilovich? Why did I get Sasha Danilovich?
Well, I know he was in the Jason Kidd trade.
What
big
number?
Jason Kidd trade, the first one. He was 5.
And what did you do to your Jason Kidd jersey?
That's how I know. I had a Jason Kidd jersey, and when he got traded, I was beside myself. But so he went to it was a 3-team trade. Jason Kidd went to the Phoenix Suns. A bunch of players went from Phoenix to Miami, and a bunch of players went from Miami to Dallas, like Robert Pack. And
I loved Robert. I think I got Robert Pack actually.
And Danilovich, and so I taped over the kid on the back of my jersey with like white athletic tape and wrote Danilovich.
And I remember that too, and that's why I got Danilovich. I was like, I'm taking Sasha because of Rick's funny tape thing that he did. Anyway, so the point of all that is to say we had a lot of fun doing that, and it's just Zoom is that we probably wouldn't have done that if we hadn't like had been all so like averse on Zoom and all this stuff. So now we got to figure out how to get all of them. How to get them to Jack, who lives near Colorado Springs.
Colorado.
I'm wondering if, like, I mean, is he going to reimburse me to, like, ship them? How many? He's got
I'm sure he would.
40 of these things. I'm wondering, like, they're, like, this big. But anyway, so that was a lot of fun. And it's like, man, we need to do this again. We need to find another random storage unit with a bunch of old math stuff in it to auction off. Okay, let's get to Luce. Did you notice? Have you noticed my thumb?
Yes, I was going to ask you what you did there. What I did here too.
You know what I? You know what I did?
What'd you do?
You know what? This is keeping me from just picking at it.
Would you?
Nothing. I got a hangnail, and it's all the way around, the whole thing is just a bloody, stop. And I have to put this on here. It's like how I chew it in front of my cheek. I can't stop.
Oh, I do that nonstop. You'll watch me on the video if I'm not thinking about it.
Do you ever get to the point where you have like a big sore because you chewed so much?
Every once in a while. Not terribly often.
There's like a diagnosis for that. I've looked it up before. It's very long. But it's like the same thing here. I can't just let there's a little flap of skin. I have to pull that down.
Yeah. And I have to fight myself from doing that.
So anyway, that's why I have
I keep fingernail clippers in my desk drawer.
So
I won't mess with like hangnails. I'll just clip them off and not play with them all the time. This right here, I was cutting open a sandwich roll for my son.
Oh.
And I'm cutting it open because it didn't come split. And I... using the knife, and I just MFR, and he's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Oh, it's all right."
He's over there calling.
Better eat the sandwich, you SOB.
It's got extra blood on it. It's how Grandpa used to eat them.
Gross.
Did you see that? Did you click on the link that I sent you of that guy in the other thread?
No, not yet.
Please do that and report back. Okay, here's Luce. We talked to her about all sorts of awesome stuff: peeing yourself and childbirth. And a grenade. And
I try to not blush every time she uses the term pelvic floor.
And she says wee instead of urine, which is funny.
She does use a lot of British words like loo.
Yeah, loo.
I was like, hang on a second. And when she said 50,000 pounds, I was like, Google 50,000 pounds to American dollars. That's that's 66,000 roughly American dollars.
And we talk about the cave of brokenness. Here's Luce. I haven't told you this, Rick.
Okay. Yes.
Luce Brett is our guest. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
She just woke up. It is 2:30 in the morning where she is.
You woke up at 2:30 in the morning just to talk to us two idiots?
Worse than that, I woke up at 1:00 in the morning so that I could definitely speak to you two idiots.
Oh no.
So where are you? Hang on. Let me think. This is 8:00. Are you in
Denver?
Are you in the UK?
Yeah, I'm in London.
Okay. So are we recording yet?
We're going.
I have a question. What is the preferred name of your country? Do I say, are you from England or are you from the UK? What is the difference?
Wales?
No, that's a different country, you idiot.
All right.
Yeah, so the United Kingdom has got England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland in it.
Okay. So do you prefer to say you're from England or from the UK? What's the preferred nomenclature?
I mean, don't tell anyone. I'd rather say I was European, but I'm British now.
Okay.
Okay, Rick, I'm very excited about this because I have this.
Hey, you've got it. That's amazing.
And I've been leafing through it, and I actually went down the – and it's everything that I saw online today, it's Luce. Right? It's not Luce. I'm sure you've heard that. Luce Brette.
Luce.
I don't mind. I'm from a big family. If you call me anything close to my name, I'm happy. You know?
Right. Yeah. I'm Mark. My brothers were Brad and Jeff. It was always
one of you
Brad,
come
Jeff,
here and do
Mark,
this.
One of them. Yeah. But I went down the rabbit trail today. YouTube, podcasts. Rick, you're going to love this. She went on a podcast and was totally naked.
Well, then hang on a second. Off here.
I
didn't know we're doing this kind of a show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I was reading about your podcast, funny enough, because of your sort of ethos about humanity. And they are so brilliant, those women who run it.
Yes.
Two hosts, one guest, no clothes.
Yeah. It's a BBC podcast.
Crikey.
And it was really entertaining. So anyway, I'm so excited to have you on. So. Rick, PMSL is pissed myself laughing. That's what that stands for, right? And so
I feel like that book is maybe right up my alley.
This is funny.
Is it a biography of me? I didn't know.
Well, this is what I'm holding in my hand here is a memoir. It is a book for women about incontinence, childbirth, after child, all this whole thing. And now she's on the show with two men, but I think this is very relevant. And we're going to talk a lot about that. And so in 30 minutes, We got a lot to get to. First of all, we got to do the birthday game.
Okay. So, Luce, we do this thing. I wish I could explain the origins. I just can't. I don't remember. But the long and short of it is Mark and I each get two guesses at your birthday. Not the year, just the day and the month. Don't keep a poker face. Don't give us any hints. Let the record reflect that I am the only person who has nailed the birthday game. I am one out of probably 400 chances, and so Mark is zero out of 400. So I am the all-time leader in the game. Mark is going to insist that I go first to lessen his odds. Increase his odds from one out of 365 to one out of 364. So I'm going to go with May 9th.
Now, Rick, you might suspect that I cheated since I did a lot of research today. I did not. Scout's honor.
If you nail it, I'm going to know you cheated.
Yeah, and then I just say your birthday.
Yeah.
July 3rd.
No. Sorry.
July
29th. Okay, final answer, June 9th.
Oh, you're both very hovering around. It's June the 18th.
Oh, man.
I was going to say June the 18th. If I had three guesses, I was going to say June 18th. It was next. It's on my notes
here. June 26th.
Yeah, I'm a Gemini. I'm a total open book.
I'm Cancer, and I don't want to be Cancer.
My little boy's Cancer. Cancer's all right. They've got a bad rep. They're all right.
We have a bad name for our sign.
It is a very bad name.
It's a bit unfortunate, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so, Luce, we'll have already recorded an intro, a more formal intro, but we want you to kind of give us your version of your origin story. So kind of how did you get to what you're doing today? How does Luce Brett end up with this book that's not just like I have this book, so it's not just like some book that you're passing out in your neighborhood, right? I mean, like, this is a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, I mean, first of all, I always wanted to write a book. Like, I did literature, I did English, I had highfalutin notions, and I guess I'm a lesson in, like, be careful what you wish for, because I always wanted to write a book, and I didn't realize it was going to be this book. And this book is a memoir, like a feminist memoir. Yes. It's like sitting on a bar stool getting drunk talking about why, like, the oldest problem of the world, which presumably started when Eve or whoever your origin story had the first childbirth without obstetric care or midwives, and what happens to women's body and a woman's body as a result of having children, and the lies we've told ourselves for thousands of years about what that means and about. So in the current state of affairs we're in, it's like that your body bounces back straight away, which is a myth, because nobody ever bounces back to anything in life.
Right.
And it's the denial of death and aging and everything. Anyway, so that's what it's about, which is really big, but it's also really small. It's about what happens when you're a normal. I was just a normal 30-year-old, and I was excited, and I was about to have a baby, and I don't think I especially deserved to have my whole life turned upside down. I don't think I did anything especially wrong, but I
especially wrong.
Yeah. Walked straight in with a big bump, and I mean, the next thing I remember is standing in a shower in a puddle of my own wee, staring at this sort of monument to what I had once been, and having this complete shell of body, and I didn't know who I was. And all I wanted was to be left alone and to be held at the same time, and that defined me for years, because I was just broken. Because incontinence is like jokes and it's disgusting.
Incompetence, ha ha ha, it sounds like that other word,
or like talking too much and right. All that stuff. But also it's like zipping all the way back to kindergarten or nursery school and being the one who pooed themselves in the home corner and everybody remembers their name,
right?
The kid that went
his name is Mark.
Shut up.
No, but that's, I mean, literally that's what happened. And so at first I was shell-shocked, and then I was depressed also, and the books also, I went into the research and looked at it, so right. I've looked at everything.
There's drawings, Rick.
Yes. Oh, there's diagrams of,
now,
like,
that's everything. My kind of book. Plenty of illustrations to get through.
I mean, as an aside, they were quite funny to produce. Yeah, exactly. So that's, do you know what that is? that's a male pelvic floor, which many men don't even think they've got.
Oh, I've got a heck of a pelvic floor.
We're
going to
talk about that.
Tell you.
We're going to talk about that.
But there's also a 10-centimeter circle, just as a salutary lesson for like what we're doing. So anyway, it's about all those things and about what happens when your life is turned upside down. And how did I get here? So having written a book and talking to two guys in the middle of the night about it. Well,
amazing.
At some point, at about the age of 35, I got more furious and pissed off than I was ashamed. And I started to talk about it. And I noticed that when I spoke about it, other people told me their stories too. And the thing with incontinence as well is that it affects like a quarter to a third of the global population. Right. So we pretend it doesn't exist when it's more common than hay fever. Hmm. And so when I found that out, I was just like incandescent. And I just had to spend about 6 years until I found an agent and a publisher who would take a chance on such a crazy idea. And you guys are great. And we can talk about, you said two men, women. I think it's really interesting because there were some brilliant champions. Women who get into this are real champions, like ambassadors for me and for the cause straight away. But it's actually, funny enough, often been men who've engaged the most. And in the States, much more engagement than in the UK. I think people are afraid of it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something that you talk about. I can't remember if it was something I read in the book or something I heard you say on a podcast about like you can't. And I have a wife. We had two vaginal delivery children, and then a C-section that was because she had a placenta previa and was on hospital bed rest for like 82 days. Which is actually, we started this podcast in the midst of all of that. We were out of town when it happens. We were stuck out of town for 3 months. It was this crazy thing. And I remember like when people would say, because I'm real squeamish. Like if I see blood or something, I can't. And people, when I watched my oldest daughter, who's now 11, being born, people were like, oh, did you pass out? Did you? I was like, no, I didn't pass out, because what I was seeing, I had no frame of reference for. It was so, I was looking at something, it wasn't gross because I didn't know what it was, because I didn't know that the human body could do that. And anyway, I won't like go into the details of my wife's. It was a forceps delivery, so you probably can lead to some things that maybe Rick doesn't understand. But it was pretty severe on the first one and all that. And so it's just like you were talking about how there's no way to like explain it to someone, right? Like the whole process.
It's like a magic trick. And right. What about childbirth is it's like exciting and thrilling and beautiful and incredible and empowering and disgusting and boring and alien and yeah. The most natural thing you've ever seen. Right. And it should happen in a stable. Like yes. It's just the noises, that, smell. That no one tells you about the smell.
Right. The poop sometimes, you know, who knows?
It's like meat.
Yeah. Now, I will say, during the labor of that first one, it was about a 12-hour labor, I did open a can of tuna in the labor and delivery room because I brought a little snack for myself.
That is the most Mark Rogers thing I've ever heard of in my life.
I quickly left the room with the tuna after Jen
had the reaction that anyone would have.
Right,
was
like,
in
what the F are you doing? And I was also very cold. I was like, is that cold in here? Is it anywhere else so cold? And then after I watched that, and I had done an Ironman at that point, and I thought this is not even anywhere close. The Ironman is way easier than what I'm watching here. And it's like men that are in the room should be like being whipped. There should be a nurse whose job is to just whip the man with like a bone shard whip the whole pregnancy, the whole labor, just to give him
try
like
to
a
even
tiny
things up just a little bit.
my best way of explaining like the physicality of childbirth, and I know it's ridiculous because like if I describe it objectively, of course it's really physical and weird, and you know if your eyeball socket went 10 centimeters, that would be really short. And vagina's smaller than that normally. But you know a cannula that you have when you're having an operation or something? The little, like where they put a little thing in your hand to, right? I pushed so hard that flew out. Like that's the level of like wrenching and pushing that I pushed it with the tape, the surgical tape, right out of my hand. So for my whole like beautiful moment, like that's like a sort of like ew, massive run. Blood just spurting everywhere. And that is just, you know, that is childbirth.
Yeah,
you're like,
that's just it. Yeah.
Who is that? I hope it's not mine. Right. Oh my God.
Well, it's funny. Like, so my daughter was born, the oldest, and, you know, walking over, I've got my little camera and I'm taking pictures over here and Jen's behind me. And I turn to like say, yeah, everything's fine. And what I saw, it's like, Jen doesn't like me to explain it like this, but it was like a grenade went off. And it was like, I mean, it was crazy. And I was just, I was just like, oh my God. You know, it's like, it's anyway. So it's just, hopefully there are some young pregnant women watching this that are going to be really excited to give birth to their babies. Here's something. You go.
Actually,
yes, go. I'm sorry.
I have a serious thing on that.
Yes,
I think that part of our denial is not telling people properly. And however scared I would have been.
Yeah.
And this is definitely true. Like, because I also got a look at the red, voluminous cave of brokenness because there was a mirror kind of.
Yes, the mirror. Why? Yeah.
And I looked up and I'm like, really?
Cave.
And at first I was like staring at it. It was like, wow, what's that? And then I was like, oh God, actually, you know, take
me.
It away.
I'm putting cave of brokenness into the show notes.
That's going to be my when I finally release a rock album, that's what's going to be the title of the first album, Cave of Brokenness.
Rick Bentley solo album.
I wouldn't have changed anything.
Right.
I
yeah.
think that it would have been better to know because the same thing would have happened because it's very rare for anyone's vagina to be the same, just like we're not the same if someone dies or we're not the same if we fall in love. We change, our bodies change, our brain changes, our thought processes change, our skin changes.
Yeah.
And I think if someone had been honest with me, properly honest, then all the same things would have happened.
Right.
But at least I wouldn't have been in shock.
Right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, it's like I got the COVID test, the nasal test, and the nurse was like, she took it out of the deal and she goes, this is going to hurt. And I was kind of like, thank you for being honest with me. Like, it's like not going to change anything. I just want you to prepare. This is not going to be pleasant. And then she stuck it all the way into my head. So there's how that went. Okay. So here's one thing. You don't just start with like the incontinence part. You go back to like, you know, obviously not like conception. You don't go that. There aren't any diagrams of that in the book.
The cartoons.
Rick gave me a keychain one time that had conception diagrammed for a Christmas, for a birthday present. Thanks for that. It's still in my closet somewhere.
It's not on your keys.
Yeah, so I hold it up. But like, I always say this, and I try to make this analogy, and I don't know if I ever do a good job of it. But it's like when you're sick, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to rest. They tell you to drink fluids. They tell you to eat really healthy foods, right? And all that stuff, isn't that like, wouldn't that be good to do all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there are sometimes like things that we tell pregnant women to do or to avoid doing, right? Exercise a lot, get a lot of rest, eat really healthy foods, don't eat like stuff like the deli meats and all this other stuff. It's like if it's good for like a pregnant woman and a growing baby, isn't that kind of good human behavior for everyone? It doesn't have to just be for the pregnant women, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think we I've got lots of thoughts. Like, I think we fetishize self-care to the point where we're saying, but we combine that with you know, society-wide misogyny. So we sort of tell women their self-care is like having a bubble bath. Like,
right.
Being clean is a normal human thing to want to be. That's why continence is so terrible. Like, completely normal to want to clean yourself if you're dirty. Like, that's, and that shouldn't be self-care
right?
The way that's like some surprise that a mum can have once every 4 weeks.
Right.
Like, that is something you should have every day.
Like, you know what? You should self-care. You should eat some food.
You should go to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
That is what you say to women who've just had a baby, right, try and get some sleep and have some water. Really?
Yeah. That's what you say to those people. Yeah. And so that's one thing that, you know, the vitamins, everything else, like that's, it's probably generally good. I want to talk about, I know the Simply Human podcast, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, movement, sleep, nutrition, and then managing stress. And you mentioned a lot, and I was hoping when I opened your book, I thought, I'm wondering and I'm hoping that the pelvic floor is mentioned a lot, and it is. And so a lot of people don't really understand this. We had Katie Bowman was a guest on the show several times a few years ago. And she's real big into natural movement. And like when you're pregnant, that's not like a pass to like lay down for 9 months. Like you need to be active and you need to be stretching and you need to be doing squats and strengthening that pelvic floor and like getting ready for this like massively like physical thing. Like
physically traumatic event.
It's almost like it's saying like sign up for a marathon. All right. That's going to be really hard on you. So you need to just go lay down and train in your bed for 9 months and just eat a ton. And then like what is going to happen to you after the marathon? You're going to be totally destroyed, you know? And so all that to say, the pelvic floor, like people don't understand, like if you look at think of a pelvis, there is no, it's just muscle and tissue at the bottom. And so like people don't understand, like in a natural human movement patterns, that pelvic floor is usually more, is more strengthened throughout natural movements. And when we're sitting all day in cars and in our office and everything, for men and women, the pelvic floor is not even close to being as strong as it should. So talk through us a little bit about the pelvic floor and kind of get into some of the biology and everything and things that you can do, whether you're pregnant or not, that will strengthen your pelvic floor, that will help you just in your life.
So I'm not a practitioner. I spent a lot of my time almost like the book is about being somebody who didn't know anything about it and being like, wow, really? Yeah, right. So, I mean, in lots of ways, everything I'm going to tell you is going to be more spiritual than mechanical.
Perfect.
Because what I discovered when I had a baby was that your pelvic floor doesn't just keep a few organs in place neatly in a sort of bone shell, which is kind of about where I was with it. It holds your whole life together.
Right.
Because if it's not there, then things start to move. And when they start to move, it affects your continence, but so much more. It affects your sexual function. It can affect, it can cause terrible pelvic pain problems. And because a lot of those things are true of men and women, but have been manifest more in women because of childbirth and the menopause, because your pelvic floor is, and the ligaments and muscles in there are affected by hormones. So that's why women are more likely to leak after the menopause than they are before. And that's why like most incontinence is the bit of the population that has the most incontinence is old women. That's why we have those like pissy old lady ideas and jokes. Because of all that, it's not been very well looked at. So back, there was more innovation in some ways, like hundreds of years ago when human diet was so terrible that people had things like bladder stones all the time. And like, if you have Samuel Pepys, so every English or British or school boy and school girl has heard of Samuel Pepys. He wrote diaries in the Fire of London. So he's like this huge figure here. And everybody knows he wrote these diaries and he buried his cheese so it didn't burn down in the Great Fire of London. And what they don't know is that he had a bladder stone the size of a baseball cut out of him without anaesthetic. There was no anaesthetic then. And he kept it on his mantelpiece for people to come and have a look at. And he had a party every year to celebrate finally being able to pee properly. So we have always known that things to do with the pelvic floor, things to do with your bladder, things to do with your bowel are so important. They can ruin your life. But if we don't take care of them, and your pelvic floor is a perfect place to start because it's not difficult to look after your pelvic floor. And all the figures about incontinence in particular are underreported. So you speak to the World Incontinence Society, every charity, every set of researchers, every urologist, they say nobody admits it. Because if you're, as my friend Elaine, who's in the book, she's a physiotherapist, she always says, if you're in the street and someone comes up with a survey and they say, oh, do you leak urine? You don't go, yes, and I'd love to be in a research study. Do you want me to tell you more about it? Should I tell you?
You're leaking urine right now. I noticed it. Yeah.
Nobody says that. So it's underreported. And it's underreported in young people as well. So there will be young women listening to this, young women, teenagers in their 20s who have never had a baby, never been pregnant, who have pelvic floor issues and aren't doing anything about it because we're not taught at school. If you ask someone to draw a pelvic floor, they probably think it looks like, I don't know, I thought it was like what shape of a sanitary towel or something.
Right.
And it's like a basket, a massive basket with loads of heft. And you can look after it really simply. We've learned to brush our teeth. We could do our pelvic floors. And if we knew a bit about it, then the one third of women whose pelvic floor is too tight, which is also an issue, because there's a myth that it's just because you're all baggy. That's not right. Right. Lots of women who have issues because their pelvic floor is too tight. If we knew a bit about it, then women would be able to self-identify the beginning of their problem and get the right help from a physical therapist or a doctor or a urologist or whatever it is. So, yeah, there's loads you can do for your pelvic floor. And some of them are things that are like lifestyle things that we're all squeamish about talking about.
Well, and that's what I wanted. That's what I want to get into.
Weight, drinking more water, right. Being careful with alcohol and coffee. I mean, I remember there's a whole chapter in my book about my sort of fury when not only did I have this awful problem with being incontinent after having babies, but I also was quite depressed, which incidentally is really strongly linked to incontinence,
right.
And all the literature shows that, but nobody said that to me. So I spent nearly a decade thinking it was my fault. Gosh. That I got depressed when I was wetting myself all the time, when actually that's really common. But yeah, I was really annoyed when they were like, and now, you know, stop drinking. And I was just like, what, seriously?
I know,
like,
you said no. That on a podcast. You said something about in London, don't you get like a, not a stipend, but you have like money that you, after you have a baby or something, and you said something about, I want to spend that money on gin, not on like, diapers or something.
My child benefit, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. On Prosecco, not on like bloody Tenerife. Right. I mean, it is a Swiss, but yeah, so, but it's just so, you're exactly right, because it's sort of the sort of thing you would say if you were like, okay, 2021, I am going to like improve my life. And you wrote down 50 things you're going to do, I bet you at least half of them would be so beneficial to your pelvic floor.
Right. So talk about some of those things. Like, you know, for like squatting, to me, like this is the first thing. If somebody asked me, like came up to me on the street and said, do you piss yourself? And I would say, sometimes. And then they would say, how do I strengthen my pelvic floor? The first thing I would say is like getting, like doing, not necessarily like doing like heavy back squats, but just squatting. Like just...
I mean, even more simple than that, any kind of proper core exercise from like sitting up straight. So like the most basic things you learn in Pilates are going to massively, massively help you. Also, if you've already got issues, then high impact exercise is going to be hard. So it's really problematic because losing weight is really helpful if you've got pelvic floor issues and continence issues. But we ignore the fact that for lots of people, that means that any kind of high impact exercise, which is much more egalitarian because it's cheap, you don't need equipment or gym membership. You can be on minimum wage and you can go for a run.
Right.
You can jog. You can skip rope or whatever. But a lot of people leak, so they don't do it.
Right.
I'm not going to go and wet myself completely in the street, you know? So there are things that are easier on it for you. Like, so for example, swimming, Pilates and yoga type stuff. And that doesn't have to be, you don't have to be someone who earns £50,000 a year and has exclusive gym membership.
Right.
That can be going and seeing one person and then doing some stuff on your own, or it could be going and having physiotherapy, because a physical therapist, they will give you, and what I couldn't believe when I got all the exercises is how they're all the same as stuff you're doing. As long as you've not got someone who does, you know, check that the person you're talking to knows about a pelvic floor, because it's complex, but you know, very simple sort of exercises like learning when you breathe in and when you breathe out when you're doing exercises, because a lot of people do their pelvic floor, but like I'm doing now, they're just like trying to do it and they're holding their breath the whole time. That's not going to help. You need to be able to like breathe out and breathe in. Having stamina is really useful for it, because if you are someone who doesn't have much stamina, then that's really hard. And also like being really careful not to eat things that irritate your bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And like we sort of have jokes about it, don't we? Like you need to go to the loo loads if you drink loads of wine or whatever, but this is not like good for your bladder, and it's not good for your bladder brain communication. So you forget, like you get less good at knowing when you need to go for a wee, and these sorts of problems become really quickly entrenched. And then you're not just someone who needs to improve your pelvic floor, you might be someone who needs to keep a bladder diary and to have
some other behaviors. Right Yeah,
and don't get constipated, because loads and loads of incontinence is caused by constipation, and then people are afraid to say that because that's even more embarrassing.
Right. Yeah, like we have a trampoline, and like Jen like won't go jump on the trampoline, you know, and like she's just like, no, we know mom just not gonna jump on the trampoline because she doesn't want to have to deal with that, you know, and she's very strong. Really, yeah,
That's not me and my friend, the physiotherapist. So she's a character in the book because I meet her and then she teaches me a lot about that side of it. And she was talking about, we were saying how we should have a campaign where we should just go around every primary school in the world and put a trampoline there, and how quickly you would identify how many women have pelvic floor issues.
Right. So,
and the good thing with it is it's shrouded in taboo and secrecy, except for it's quite hard to get a group of women aged between 35 and 70, especially if you offer them a jump on a trampoline or a glass of wine, to not immediately start telling you about their pelvic floor.
Right.
So it's
right.
A dual thing.
Yeah, it's like
hiding in the shadows in plain sight, but we don't address it properly.
Yeah. Well, and we're running up on time here, but there was another point in the book that you talk about, and you can go back to bed after this, but about how like there was like the black pads. Like there were no black pads for women, but there's one for men. It's men have have the one that makes more sense. Like they have more options, of course they do, you know. And so it's like me and Rick are men, but it's like even our man listeners, which we have a lot of male listeners, everyone has a woman in their life, mom, you know, wife, girlfriend, daughter. I have two daughters, so like I need to know this stuff. Like I need, you know, and it's like, so you can have empathy. I think that's a big thing that is missing in our society today is empathy.
Yes, understanding how the other, you know, what challenges other people face that you may not understand firsthand because you don't face them, but understanding that other people do for sure.
Interestingly, like there's several things about men that's worth bearing in mind. So men have a pelvic floor. Male incontinence is, in terms of, societal taboo and stigma, is probably 10 years behind women's incontinence. So men are, the problem is what's happening to men is that they often become incontinent like that overnight. So they have a prostate problem and it suddenly comes. So it's a bit like if you've been in a car crash and you have incontinence caused by a neurological problem, right? Whereas for women, I was unusual. Straight after childbirth, I had problems. But a lot of women, they'll have a little bit of leaking, but it'll get much worse as they get older. And it's gradual. So women put up with it. They just like used to it, and so it takes them a lot longer. But men need help. I mean, you guys don't even have bins in your bathrooms.
Right.
Like, where do you put them when you're in a public loo? So I think there's a lot for men. Like, look at whatever your political persuasion is, look at the way people keep bringing up the potential that Donald Trump might need incontinent pads. And like, frankly, as an incontinent person, like I do not need to be told that my continence is what would make me be a bad president of the United States or indeed any other country. Like I've got enough shit on my plate. Right. I could do that easily.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with my bladder. And it's the same with him, frankly, him or loathe him. His competency as a president has nothing to do with whether he wets the bed or wears a diaper. And yet what you've done to male incontinence is made it like a madman. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, and that for him would be not even like on the top 500 of the list of like things that make him not real great. It's not even scratching the surface for him.
Yeah. Okay. And it's so lazy. And it's really mean. It's like it's people who are vulnerable who are more likely to be incontinent, like all health issues. And that's part of like your simply human ethos. It's like, be kind, man. It's more likely to happen to someone vulnerable. Why not be nicer about it? Why are we not just being nice about it?
Yeah.
And why are we pretending it's inevitable when we could solve it? Because that's the other thing to remember, I think, is that incontinence can be cured and solved. Hmm. Like for most people, and quickly and cheaply. Because it is lifestyle changes and pelvic floor exercises will give loads of people loads of relief. And then there's also surgery and innovation if they can't.
Right.
Hmm. Okay. Why not be nicer?
Wrapping up with a couple of questions.
Oh, sorry.
You have written a book.
Okay, go on.
What is one book, not your book, we know your book, what is a book that you love that you are like, oh my gosh, you have to read this book?
A book called And When Did You Last See Your Father by Blake Morrison, which is a British memoir, a man about his father dying, what that means.
Well, hold on. Let me write that down because I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday whose dad just got a terminal diagnosis and he was asking me for resources, so what the heck. So what's the name of it again?
It's called And When Did You Last See Your Father.
Okay.
I mean, it's partly also about whether you actually know your parents, like their life lead before you've been born and stuff. But it's really beautiful.
Okay. Adding that to my list as well. Okay, and then we ask this question to everyone on the show. What is one thing that you enjoy about life or something you do that makes life more enjoyable? A hobby or just something?
Besides waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning to do American podcasts.
I mean, that is great. I like watching football with my 10-year-old. Soccer, even though it's not my thing, because I like watching his delight in it. And I like going to the cinema with my 13-year-old, because that's what he likes. So I like doing stuff with... I mean, I don't like being with him all the time. Like, I'm not crazy and, you know, locked up. But I mean... That's what I like, sharing interests with them. So I actually like the process of something I didn't like, seeing it through their eyes and going, oh, so I can be like, and then the problem is, of course, they grow up and grow out of it. And then you're like crying every time you see a bus or whatever it is that they were obsessed with when they were toddlers. But,
yeah. You know, that's how my youngest child, he's 9, he'll be 10 here in about 2 or 3 months. Somehow he got started watching Formula One car racing. There was a documentary on Netflix, a documentary series.
Huh.
And he got into it. And
are you into this now?
I am, because he is.
Right.
Yeah,
He wants to know all the drivers, the constructors, the tracks, the everything. And so now by default, I'm into it. Yeah. I honestly could care any less, but I enjoy watching it with him because
that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. What he babbles about nonstop. Yeah.
Well, I love that too. Like when you first have kids, even they're babies, you're like, what if they grow up and they're like, they do something that I don't like? Then you think, well, you'll become an expert in that. Like if my kid plays tennis, I'm going to become the huge tennis fan, you know, that's just the way it goes. Awesome. And that's why I'm a hockey. That's why I watch hockey. It's for Rick. Cause I like his the boyish glint in his eye when he watches hockey.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. I think we did it. I have your website. I'm just going to direct everyone to whenyouarethatwoman.co.uk, and that has the book link and like all the stuff. There's podcast things that you've been on, and if you just go to YouTube and put in Loose Brett, there's tons of stuff.
I'm on Twitter as well.
Twitter,
endlessly tweeting stuff about continents and feminism and films.
And I'm going to make without consulting Rick, I'm going to make an announcement.
Oh boy,
Loose Brett is our podcast guest of the month. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say that.
Where are we? The third?
You're the only one so far at this point.
Yeah, you're the first guest we've had in December.
No, it's like only the 3rd of December. Right. It's the second.
Oh, right. Yeah. And we're already, you've got it for December.
Wait, hang on. She's on December 3rd. We're on December 2nd. You got to tell me what happens in the future.
Oh,
you
got to
give me the lottery numbers. You got to tell me what happens in the next like 6 hours so I can.
Basically, all that's happened so far is a fox walked over my front path.
Oh, and you're just dying. I hope you can go back to sleep. Are you going to go back to sleep?
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so.
I'm going to be really crabby tomorrow.
I know. Yeah. Meditate or something and get back into a good state. All right, Luce, you are awesome. I really,
really
cannot thank you enough for doing this. Like I wouldn't have done this.
I would have been like, that's for you.
When I read your description, because I totally agree with you about we're all humans. That's what the end of the book is, just like a plea. Like, can't we just be nicer to each other?
Reciprocity.
And remember, we've all got bodies and sometimes they break. And so that's why I agreed to get up. I wouldn't do it for just anyone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
That's right.
She's like, I get up at 1 o'clock every morning. It's part of my routine. Yeah,
that's part of the deal.
Yeah. Awesome. Luce, you are great. When this goes out, it'll be video and audio. I have a new computer, and so it is super. So it is.
Are you at a standing desk?
I'm standing up. Yes. But I have a standing desk in my work as well. But I will probably have this done within the week, Rick. Can you believe that? Like, that's how fast it's taking me now. I'm serious.
Good.
It's unbelievable.
Because I've been getting flooded with complaints about how long it takes you to do.
It'd be like 6 weeks. Anyway, Luce, you're awesome. Go to sleep, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
That was great. Can you believe she did that? I can't believe.
I certainly would not do that. And I would not. Even if I had like a book to sell and to promote, if somebody was like, hey, can you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and be on a podcast? I'd be like, nope, don't need your money that bad.
Sorry.
It's for you.
Well, and I was going to say one other thing that you would like about this, Rick, is that the F word is in here copiously.
The best of all words. Yeah. It's the most versatile word in the English language.
Yeah. So she's awesome, and we're very obviously very honored that she would do that for us. And she's very popular, not just in the UK, but kind of everywhere too. And she was nice enough to they sent me this book. And I have this book.
That's where I just, you can just tell me about it. It's fine.
You know what? I was listening to an old show. Oh, I know why. Is because we had a listener find the show where you told the story about the kid who asked me say anything about the Mavs.
My favorite Mark Rogers
and
story.
We found it, and I was listening to that show, and I was listening to that Humans Being Human segment, and then I just happened to keep listening, and our Simply Human Tip of the Week, where we would like find like an article or something and talk about an article. We need to do that some more.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, for those who are not familiar, my favorite Mark Rogers story of all time. Gosh, how long ago was this? What is this, 2020? This is 16, 17 years ago, probably?
Yeah, 15, 16 years ago.
So Mark's prior career, I actually can take significant... Your video just dropped out.
I know.
Okay. You're picking your nose. This is what you're doing.
It goes back on and like my pants are down and it's like...
I take credit for this because got a job in the TV business, small market, Abilene TV, and then I got Mark hired, and then I left, and then the right people left, and so Mark ended up being like the number one guy in the sports department of this TV station, and this guy brought his kid who was like super interested and like some of his kid's friends, and Mark thoroughly enjoys spouting sports knowledge. Mark knows the name of every Heisman Trophy winner of all time. You tell him the year, he knows the winner and the school. Don't you do the Super Bowl trick too? Like
I used to
Super Bowl number, and you could tell the two teams and the score.
I lost it.
Mark is going off because he knows everything about the Dallas Mavericks. That's another thing I take credit for. Is I convinced you to love the Mavericks in the early 90s.
Episode 79 is
and Mark is talking about.
You
know, I know everything about the Dallas Mavericks. I know every single first round draft pick, every second round draft pick. I know every roster. I know every yearly scoring leader. Every coach. Ask me one question about the Dallas Mavericks. And this kid's like, who do they play tonight? Mark's like, I
haven't looked at the schedule yet. It's like the most basic thing you could ask. Like a person who's not a Mavericks fan should know, they would know that if they were just, you know. But anyway. So maybe we'll start doing like another a little tip of the week thing. But for now, I don't know. What could be the tip of the week after we talk to Luce?
Stuff about your pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor, but also what she said at the very end I really loved. Like, do something with someone else because they like it.
Not because
I don't want to do that. I don't like that team. I don't like that movie. I don't like that show. Do it because, like, that's the whole reciprocity thing. Treat others like you want to be treated. If you would want someone to watch something with you, do that for someone else. Man, that would help.
If we all did one of those acts... Doesn't even have to be every day. Once or twice a week. I think that would significantly improve kind of the way humans interact with each other. You know, you do something, it's not your idea, it's not something you had in mind, but do it because they like it, and you do it with them because you enjoy spending time with them, whether it's your kids, your significant other, a friend, a coworker, something like that. So yeah, I think that's a very good tip. Mark gave us a good tip.
Big old nice tip.
Thanks for giving us the tip.
Big tip. Okay, that. That is going to do it for the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember.
Because I also got a look at the red, voluminous cave of brokenness.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.